And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Last time I was given opportunity to speak to you in regards to coming together to take of the Lord's Supper, I was focusing on Jesus' words that he earnestly desired to eat the Passover with them before he suffered. And the last time I focused on him, Jesus as Messiah, and him being the fulfillment of the Passover in all aspects of it, in the way he was presented, in the way that he was taken and was killed. Today I want to refocus on these words and look at Jesus as the man and as the friend of these men that he was sitting with. Jesus, in addition to knowing he was the fulfillment of the Passover, was taking this last Passover that he would eat to be with these last moments of intimacy with his friends. For 3.5 years, Jesus has been walking with these men. He has taught them, mentoring them, protecting them. He has eaten meals with them, laughed with them, and cried with them. He has allowed them to see glimpses of his world and has watched them grow from just common worldly men and laborers to men who would soon be turning the world upside down in retelling his story. Just a few hours hence, an angry mob led by one of his friends comes to the garden where he is praying. Then he is arrested and tried. He is mocked, beaten, spat upon, whipped, abandoned by these friends that he was just now eating with, and yes, hung on a cross until he was dead. He knew, even while he was sharing his heart with these men at this last meal, even while he was preparing to die for them, they were arguing about who was the greatest among them. Who was most important? Mere hours from the cross, and his disciples still hadn't quite figured it out. In the midst of all this, he says to them, I want to spend these last moments with you together before I go to suffer. He desired to eat this Passover with them that he and they may have a little one more time together. We do not have the Passover today. We are not sacrificing lambs. Jesus was that lamb. It's just one more Sunday, and here we are observing this Lord's Supper today. So what does this have to do with me? Maybe more importantly, how does this Lord's Supper affect me? Us partaking of this Lord's Supper should remind us of what Jesus has done for us. We're not here for the free meal. We're not here to play at religion or play at church. We are here to remember that Jesus left glory of heaven to walk, take a walk in a mile in your shoes, in my shoes, and show that he could force his physical, earthly body into submission to his Father so that he could live a sinless life, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Partaking of this Lord's Supper should be a reminder that we ourselves have a higher calling in this life. Jesus did not come just to show his benevolent love to everyone. His purpose wasn't to heal people or to shelter the homeless. He came to seek and save the lost. And he left us with that same purpose. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When we come to this table and reflect on the sacrifice Jesus made in atoning for our sin, we need to be reminded that he didn't just die for our sin, but he died for the sins of every other man and woman in this community around us and in all communities across the world. And if there is someone not willing to reach out to those people with his life-changing story, and those people will also suffer in the end a death. This supper should remind us that church is about more than hearing a sermon. It is about more than singing a few songs and then going home feeling good about ourselves. Because we have this higher calling. We are called out of the daily mundaneness to a heavenly, earthly, eternal purpose, and coming to this table is our reminder of that. Partaking of the Lord's Supper provides reason for great hope and praise. The people that we come into contact with from day to day, many of them are living in defeat and despair. They're seeking meaning for why they're going through their lives each day. Many have become complaining, negative, and fault-finding. But the Lord's Supper ought to lift our thoughts to what is higher, that we look to the sun instead of dwelling on what is under the sun. When we remember the Lord's sacrifice, we should also remember that his story didn't end with his death on that cross. It didn't end in that tomb, because up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph over his foes. Partaking of this Lord's Supper gives us opportunity to examine our own lives. When we come before the Lord, and we are presented with this unleavened bread and this fruit of the vine, we should be reminded of our Savior's sinlessness. He is holy God. If our hearts and minds are in the right place, then we cannot partake of these things without seeing something of the Lord's holiness and without seeing our own sinfulness. The Lord's perfection highlights our imperfection. The Lord's brightness shines into the deepest, darkest corners of the closets that we think we have in our own lives that are closed. Partaking of this supper should remind us of the Lord's great desire for intimacy. When we come to this table, it is as though the Lord also comes to recline at table with us, saying, "Thank you for coming to eat with me." The Lord says to everyone who comes to his table, I want to be with you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Let us commune together just for a little while. Jesus longs for fellowship. Do we also seek his fellowship? Earnestly, I have desired to eat this with you.